The Your Safe Space podcast is recorded on Wurundjeri land. This podcast acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. You're listening to the Your Safe Space podcast hosted by me, Adele Marie. Joining me on air today is my best friend, Susie, and we just got back from our first international vacation together. So we want to give you the tea on traveling with your bestie and how to do it successfully. We also talk about Island Boys, our itinerary, and making your next trip with your bestie as stress-free as possible. I hope you guys enjoy this chat. We absolutely loved reliving our memories. Hi, Suze.
Hello.
Wait, Kia Orana.
Kia Orana.
Everyone, that's how you say hi in the Cook Islands.
Yes.
Kia Orana.
Also, and it's not just hi, it means like live long or long life. And I'm like, that is so beautiful. They like literally wish the best life for each other just by saying hi. Kia Orana.
It's so beautiful. We landed back, honestly, 12 hours ago.
Yes.
Not even. And as soon as we got to Sydney, because we had to go like, we had to go Raro, Sydney, Melbourne. When we got to Sydney, we had to catch a bus from like the international terminal to the domestic terminal. And I said to the bus driver, Kia Orana. And he looked at me like, what? And I'm still going to just be saying it to whoever comes into contact with me.
Even on the plane, you're like, Kia Orana. I'm like, they're Melbourne crew. They have no idea what you're saying.
I just didn't want to leave. But anyway, how are you feeling this morning?
Oh, I feel good, but I'm so sad we didn't have the beach and our coffees and our island life.
I know.
But trying to keep on island time, but yeah, I miss you.
I know.
Even though I just saw you yesterday.
I know. We have bad separation anxiety right now.
Yes.
Like the fact I've been sad all morning and then she walked in the studio. I was like, oh, thank God. I feel better again. Like,
yeah.
We really became like even closer on this trip. So I'm very excited to do this episode. Now, we do a segment on Sundays, which is called What's Taking Up Space. So it can be anything, good, bad, whatever it is that's going on in your life right now. Do you have What's Taking Up Space?
Yes. So I'm moving homes in 3 weeks. So
exciting.
I need to pack and move. So a bit overwhelming, but I'm so excited. But yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah. A new chapter.
Yes. New chapters for sure.
So good. Moving is very stressful. So we wish you all the best of luck. And if you need help moving, just tell me because I can come help. I can set things up. I can pack boxes. I can do whatever you need.
Yes. Well, I'm going for minimal because I think being in Raro really showed us that you can live with minimal and be happy. So I want to bring that to my space and maybe not pack too much.
Yeah.
And get rid of some things.
So. I love that so much.
Yep.
I love that. We'll talk more about how they live later
definitely.
Into this episode. What's taking up space for me is just adjusting to the life here. And like I said, we're going to talk about it a lot in this episode. But I honestly had the best trip of my life. I said to Suze off air, it was like eat, pray, love, kind of.
Was.
I literally have a piece of my heart left in Raro.
It was so healing.
So healing. Island life, island time. I didn't know how much I needed it and how much I would love it. And that has kind of rattled me a little bit in the best way because I'm like, fuck, like I've got to make some changes in my life here. I got a lot of clarity on that trip. And then also I'm still adjusting to the bloody time zone difference.
Yeah.
So guys, I'm going to give you some geography in this episode, right? Because Raro is only 6 hours direct from Sydney, right? Not that far. However, you cross an international dateline and who knows what an international dateline is? Did you know about what the international dateline was?
No, but it makes it 22 hours.
Literally.
Behind. So, like, make it make sense. I don't get it. Like, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense to either of us. We left Sydney last Tuesday morning at, I'm going to say, 1:30, 2 p.m., whenever it was. We then landed in Raro at 7 a.m. Tuesday morning. We basically went back 22 hours.
Time travelers.
And so I did a bit of research, okay, because I was very curious about the international dateline. And the international dateline is an internationally accepted demarcation of the surface of the Earth. It runs between the South and North Poles, serving as the boundary between one calendar day and the next. So that explains why we lost a day coming back and why we gained a day going there. It passes through the Pacific Ocean, which is where the Cook Islands and Rarotonga and Aitutaki are, and it follows the 180-degree line of longitude and deviating to pass around some territories and island groups. Crossing the dateline eastbound decreases the date by one day, while crossing the dateline westbound increases the date. So we crossed it eastbound going there, westbound going back. And so last night, it's like midnight, and I'm trying to fall asleep, and then I'm checking the time. I'm like, what time is it in Raro? And it's like 3 fucking a.m. and I'm like, bitch, go to bed. And then I wake up at the crack of dawn at like 6. Did you wake up early today?
Yes, I woke up early. Yeah. But still had a good sleep. But same. Yeah, it's weird. And even what else did we learn? We learned that it's the same like time zone as Hawaii, but yeah. Hawaii is northern and we're southern, which is so cool because I didn't think of it as like we're aligned.
I know. So crazy.
Yeah, such a cool,
it was the best.
Cool spot.
Now, before we get into the episode, I have a little surprise for you.
Oh, I love surprises.
I'm going to give it to you. I think you love this.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Tell me what it is.
It is Coke Zero. You know how many times we were like, you know what we need right now?
A Coke Zero.
A Coke Zero.
And every day we would look forward to our one Coke Zero. Sometimes we had two, but I was like, I'm going to get them. We can have them on air.
Yes. Like the addiction's real.
I know. Like- I ordered Uber Eats to the studio and they only had these little ones, but I was like, you know what? It's better than nothing. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. Yes. We are going to get into the episode, guys. We can leave our little.
I love that. That is the best.
I knew it would make your day. I was like, what can I do to say thank you? So that's your little thank you for coming.
I love it. Thank you.
All right. Now, this episode is going to be very good for you if you are planning a holiday with your bestie, if you are even thinking about planning a holiday with your partner, or if you want to learn more about the Cook Islands. Now, I personally have done so many solo travel episodes, and I've also solo traveled so fucking much. Like, I realized this was like maybe my first and only international friend trip.
Yeah.
Which is wild. So we learned lots of stuff and we're going to share it with you and we're going to dive straight in. So thank you for submitting your questions. Let's go. Question number one, was the whole trip paid for? I would love some transparency around brand trips. And I'm going to answer this one first just because in case you don't know, some context for how we got to the Cook Islands is about 3 or 4 weeks before we left, I got an email from Cook Islands Tourism who said, hey, Adele, not sure if you're keen. This is what we want to do. The Cook Islands and Jetstar have been working together for the last year. Jetstar only started flying to the Cook Islands or direct to the Cook Islands a year ago, and they wanted to raise awareness for Cook Islands as a holiday destination. And so they said, we want to send you away for 5 nights, 6 days with a plus one. The itinerary is going to be filled with amazing activities. Are you keen? Immediately, I was like, yes. Immediately, I was like, I need Suzanne to come. Like, this needs to be a bestie holiday. And so the entire trip was a Contra collaboration. So what Contra means in like influencer world is that it is gifted. So just for transparency, Jetstar paid for our flights there and back, and Cook Islands Tourism, and shout out to Louisa.
We love you.
We love you so much and we miss you. And I know she's listening to this episode, but Louisa was our guide from Cook Islands Tourism who basically showed us around, went over and above. She's an absolute angel.
She was amazing.
We love her so much. Yes. And I miss her.
I know. We miss you so much.
Literally going to be crying this whole episode. But they covered everything else. They covered our tours. They covered, I'm going to say like 90% of our meals. And then the rest of the stuff, like any free time we had, say we went to the markets or we had a free time to like go out or go out to dinner, like that was what we would cover. Again, Jetstar offered to then reimburse us up to a certain amount. As part of the collaboration and the Contra deal, they offered me, or they asked if I would be open to doing some deliverables. And it was unreal because they didn't even ask me to do these deliverables. I just offered them and then they accepted it. So I did 6 stories, which you guys would have seen. I did one per day. one TikTok, one reel, and a 2-minute ad in my YouTube vlog. That's all that we agreed to. Everything else that I just shared because, fuck, I'm in the most beautiful place in the world and I'm with my best friend and we're having the best time. Of course I'm going to share. But I need to say thank you, a massive thank you to both Jetstar and Cook Islands Tourism for not only covering me, but they covered Suze as well.
Amazing.
And they never really do that. Like, I've been offered brand trips in the past where they've said, oh, your plus one will need to pay for their flights or your plus one will need to pay for a comp. So I'm so happy that they did that for us and so grateful. And yeah, I want to know, were you so excited to go on a brand trip like that?
Yes. So when Adele told me, I basically just cancelled my whole week. Yeah, what an experience. Like, I can't believe, like, so grateful for you.
I'm so grateful for you.
Of course, this trip, literally once in a lifetime, it really felt like that.
It really did. And so we're so super, super grateful. And obviously, disclaimer, this podcast episode is in no way sponsored and was no way part of it either. We just are having post-holiday blues and we needed to relive it. And we wanted to give you guys some tips and tricks about traveling with your bestie.
And we just want to talk about it nonstop to keep it alive.
We will keep it alive. Don't worry. All right. Our second question is, how do you juggle when one friend wants to do the opposite of what you want to do? Example, you want to chill and they want to party.
A lot of our things were planned, but we did have this scenario when it was our last night and you just discuss it. So basically, Louisa asked us if we wanted to go out and we were all in the car and then
we were like 10 minutes away from the accommodation going home. We had a 6 a.m. flight.
We're like, do we want to go out? Yes or no? And like, I'm always a yes.
So am I.
And we were, yeah, I think you like, I don't know, you just really have to ask each other what you want. And then we decided on a time that we would go home and we said, let's just go. We have to experience the nightlife. So
we compromise. I think that's what it comes down to, like compromise and communication. In our instance, it's a bit different. Like I know, like I've been friends with you for so long. I know what type of person you are. I also know what type of person I am. We are very similar.
Yeah.
We are, I said this in the car, I can't remember where we were, but we were over there. I'm like, I'm the friend, like you want to run errands? I'll come with you. You want to get a pedicure? I'll come watch you get a pedicure. You need to go to the post office? I'll come with you. Like you want to move houses? I'll help you. Like I'm down. I'm the friend that's down, but so is Suze.
Yeah.
And I also knew that when I picked you.
Yes.
And I think even there was one day where we had a choice where we could do like a hike, what was the other one?
The quad bikes.
Yeah. Or the e-bikes. And so I sent the three options to Suze. And I said, what do you want to do? I'm not fussed. Like, I'm happy for you to make the choice. And then we both agreed, like, our top two was, like, the quads and the hike. And then we agreed on the hike because there was a waterfall. And we can talk about the hike a little later on.
I can't wait. That's so good.
But even then, that was, like, a good way of us communicating.
Yes.
And so I would say, as for juggling it, it's, like, equal parts, like, communication, compromise. And sometimes you might have to, like, sacrifice some things that, like, maybe you want to do. But even in saying that, if there's something you want to do and your friend doesn't want to do, go and do it.
Exactly.
We had a different couple on our hike and we had a guy in our sea scooter that did it by himself.
He was alone.
Yeah. So you can go and do tours or activities on your trip, wherever it is that you'll meet other solo travelers, even though you're there with your friend. Like, don't be afraid to go out and do that if you need to. All right. Our next question. Did you guys fight at all?
No, we didn't.
Literally, we rarely fight.
No.
I don't think we've ever even had a fight.
No. I mean, yeah, we're both very chill and there was nothing to fight about, but I do see how people would fight on a holiday. Like, I've heard about that before and that really sucks.
It does. It's because you're so close to each other and in such confinement. Again, though, I think before you plan a trip with someone, can you travel with them?
But how do you know?
I know. Sometimes you have to go.
How would you even know? But I think, you don't really want to fight over things when you're in paradise. So, I mean, how could you have a bad day in Rarotonga? I don't know. Maybe another country, but no fighting.
No.
It's on island time.
It's so peaceful there. And
we're not really fighters anyway.
No.
So,
if anything, we would just like talk it out if there was something to talk out. And I think, again, it just goes back to communication, like clear communication. And all these questions, I think, are really about clear communication because even the next one is like, how do you plan trips with friends if our financial situations are very different? I mean, in our circumstance, like we, as I said, the trip was gifted. So we were very blessed and very grateful in that sense. But I think if it wasn't and we were just planning another holiday, which I would love to plan another holiday, by the way, we would talk about budget before we book anything.
Yes. So I've traveled with a lot of friends before and you do need to plan a budget. And even if like you don't want to hold back on things, but you do need to know how long it's going to take to save for what you want to do. Because if one person in the group has a lower budget and they're going to miss out on stuff, it kind of sucks. So book it in advance and say, all right, even like this trip ran so smoothly because we had things planned. And I think that's so, like, plan your activities before you go and then you don't have to run the risk of, you know, like running out of money or
even
just plan it.
Even planning it ahead is better because it's I think if you book things later, it can be more expensive or like you can miss out on stuff.
And still leave time to be spontaneous, but when it's coming to finances, just pay it all first and then have your spending money and you're going to have a better time.
Yeah.
You've already paid that. It's been, it's paid before you're there. You don't have to worry about budgeting for activities. Book it all before you go.
Yeah. I think I'll do that moving forward because I definitely didn't do that with Europe last year. I've never had a holiday plan like that.
Yeah.
I think it was planned so perfectly.
I love having things planned.
Yeah.
Like you're guaranteed a good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just need to know when to be ready and then it's done for you. It's actually really good.
Even if you do have friends in different financial situations, like maybe one works full time, one's still studying, maybe it's like a rediscussion about maybe you need to change the location. Maybe you aren't getting on a flight. Maybe you're doing a weekend away down at like Sorrento or Great Ocean Road or something like that. Like it doesn't always need to be large and grand. And if you are wanting to enjoy and make some memories with your friends, you can still do that on a smaller scale, accommodating everyone's budget. I'll also say though, if you have vastly different budgets to somebody, that to me would make me think about if I could travel with them as well, because then you run the risk of while you're away, if they don't want to eat out at certain places or if they don't want to do activities, like how does that then impact you? So I think you need to be like really honest with yourself and you really need to be honest with your friends as well. You can make it work. At the end of the day, you can still make it work in whatever way you need.
Yeah, exactly. And like if you need to make food at home, make
food at home.
Make your breakfast and then
we made our breakfast.
We made our breakfast
every single day.
I can't wait to talk about our breakfast.
I know. It's the highlight. But there are ways around things where you can then make some stuff more affordable and make it work. And
yeah. And if you are looking for an affordable trip, go somewhere where you can do a lot in nature because it's
free.
It's free and it's amazing. And, you know, maybe if you're going to a destination where there's a lot of things that you have to pay for, shopping and stuff, that might not be the trip for you at this time. But if you're on a budget, the world is free and beautiful and nature will,
it's just there waiting for you to explore it.
Yeah.
It's so true. All right. What was the best thing about traveling together?
The absolute best thing was experiencing new things together.
Yeah. I was going to say that exact thing.
We saw a clam.
No, we've never seen a clam in the ocean.
You're like,
oh my
God, did you see that? And just the feeling you feel when you've got your best friend there and you're like, we just experienced that, like the sea turtles.
Magical.
Yeah. So the best thing, for sure.
I think I definitely noticed that so much as well because, like I said, I have traveled solo so much and everyone already knows I met Suze when we were in Croatia. Yes. So, like, we actually met traveling, which is so cute and ironic as well. But I have loved solo travel for so long because I'm like, oh, you can do whatever you want. You don't have to worry about what other people want. You can be selfish. You can still enjoy it. It gives you independence. It gives you all these great things. And solo travel is still so amazing. But going away with you was so special because I'm like, wow, you were there with me.
Exactly.
And like you remember it all as well. Like we have those memories forever.
Yeah.
And we experience it together. And that is like so special. That makes me want to cry. I think back to other places I've traveled by myself. Only I can recall that memory. I can't ring someone up and be like, oh, do you remember when we went hot air ballooning in Turkey? And that like filled a hole in my heart. Like it was very healing. It was very, it was the best.
But it's like the little things as well. So are we wearing makeup tonight or or no? And like those little things, they're the best. Or I when know. We got like time to just scroll on our phone and we're just
the best time of the night.
And our matching pajamas, like all the little things. And even just being in the airport together where you're like, okay, we got to wait for our flight. What are we going to do? And then you've just got your person there. Like, that's the best.
It was so good. The first night we went out, we like planned a little theme for our dinner. We chose floral. And so we both wore floral dresses. We just tried to.
Getting ready together.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. All right. What was the most difficult thing you found, if you did find any, traveling with a friend? Because I didn't find anything.
No, nothing was difficult about this trip. Like, everything was easy. But what I did learn is not to push each other's boundaries. So, for example, what I discovered was that I'm a bit of a daredevil. And yes. So, yes. Yeah, and a little bit more than you. And especially like the first day was when we were swimming with the sea turtles. I was like, just do it. And you're like, no, I'm a bit scared. And I was like, okay, but that's okay. And then even with the hike, I would want to go to the top and you were like, oh, I don't think I can do that. So yeah, I mean, that's not difficult at all, but it's like respecting what the other person, where their limits are.
Yeah, I love that so much.
Yeah, that's probably like, but that's not even difficult.
No.
It's just knowing.
Yeah, no, that's such a good point.
Yeah, like knowing where your friend's boundaries are.
Yeah, and yeah. I could feel that you respected it, like yeah. No pressure at all.
No.
If anything, I was in awe. I was like, oh, I wish I could not think like, thought myself into like worst case scenario yeah. And then scared myself out of it. So with the sea turtles, I just really stayed on the surface. The whole time I'm like, oh, are there sharks around? Like, oh, am I going to drown? Like, even though I can swim.
It is actually very scary. Like when you're snorkeling, you take the snorkel off, you dive under and then you're underwater and you can't breathe, but you can see the sea turtle and you're like, oh my God, I need to go up back for air. Like your ears feel weird. Like it is very scary at the same time. So no, it is scary.
Yeah, and then Sue's scaled a mountain.
Yes.
A rock.
Yeah, so when we got to the top, there was like 20 meters where you could go up the rock, but all there was a chain. And like if you look down,
you're hanging off the edge.
It's literally the edge. And I was like, okay, this is like a one step at a time, like don't look down type of scenario.
You did so well.
And
so well.
Time just stops and you're like, this is actually a moment where I have to take care of my life. How cool. But also, yeah, one step at a time. And there was a technique where when you come down the rope, you need to be standing. And the guide said, he's like, everything in your body is going to tell you that you want to be flat.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I find myself flat.
She's like, we need to put the clip up.
Yeah,
we'll put
it on. Like, this is not the right technique. So... But yeah, it was really
like
cool.
Flat on the rock, and I like watched her go up, and then I tried to go up, but I took like my first step. Mind you, there's no harness. You're like 5 centimeters away from the rock face, like facing your face, and then if you turn around, it's like the cliff. Like you're
if you let go, you would die. That's
yes,
so scary.
I
can't
so
believe I'm doing
this. Bitched out after 2 steps. I was like, nah, I know if I can't get up, there's no way. I knew immediately I couldn't get down.
Yeah.
And so Suze goes up, and I'm sitting there. Waiting, I was with someone else who didn't go up the mountain or up the cliff face. And there's me, this guy, and this rooster. And we're waiting for them to come back down. Anyway, I see them coming back down and I can see that going back down is worse than going up. And everyone's taking like even longer to come down versus
almost cried.
Going up. And I'm thinking,
thank
I did
God.
Our travel insurance. And on our travel insurance, they said, are you doing any dangerous activities? And I was like, no, we are not. And then I was like, fuck, our travel insurance would not be helping us in this situation if anything happens right now.
Even when we started practicing the fire dancing.
Oh, and that.
There's every risk I'm going to like burn my hair off, but I'm going to go for it anyway.
We got to 12 fire. And
how good.
I reckon that's probably the only place in the world you can do that. And we were doing it and I
it
twirled
the
fire for like 0.3 seconds. I gave it the weakest effort. And I'm an Aries. I'm a fire sign. I should have done way better, but
I was terrified.
But
it was so scary.
Suze is going at it. Did you post that on your Instagram? Yes. Go and check it out.
Yes. I mean, now I just want to like learn how to do it really good because what a party trick.
Well, where are we going to learn fire twirling in Melbourne?
We are.
We'll just have to go back to Raro.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Try again.
Our next question. What was it like traveling with other content creators? I'm very curious for your answer on this one.
It was amazing. I think everyone is so talented and they just know what they do. They're just so good. Everyone's so creative and beautiful and Yeah. Even when you watch them get their shots, you're like, how on earth are you so good? But they're all good at what they do and all lovely people as well. It was awesome.
Yeah. I thought the same. I didn't actually know any of the creators until we met them.
Yeah.
There was four other creators and then they all had a plus one. And every single person had the most beautiful energy.
They were. They were so lovely.
I can't even tell you. Like Cook Islands Tourism and Jetstar picked amazingly and I'm so grateful that they even picked me to go in there. But for me, it was – I've gone away on like other smaller like interstate trips and obviously I have creator friends and I know what it's like to hang out, but – just the level of care for each other. We would be like, who needs content shot? Like I can film this or you can film that. Or we were constantly airdropping each other our clips and no one was like, well, I'm only helping myself. Everyone was helping each other. Elliot, one day, one of the guys on the trip, he sends a screenshot and he like circled on the map where this nice palm tree was. He goes, if anyone wants to shoot content there, go there. Bianca would always airdrop me, oh, I shot in vertical if you need it for your YouTube channel. Like just legends.
Yeah. And it was really cool seeing all the gadgets that everyone had. I know, what is this and how cool is that? Like, that's the coolest thing I've seen.
I've come home and I'm like, I need to buy that long stick that shoots like that fisheye view. I need to buy the underwater camera.
The camera was
the
cool.
Case, the underwater the case. There was so much tech that I don't have. I thought I had the tech. I don't have the tech. I'm like, I need to go shopping now.
It's pretty cool seeing that from behind the scenes.
Absolutely. And the other thing is we are all such different creators.
Yes.
All of our content is so different. And the best thing about it was at the end of the day, I could go and watch their stories or like watch their content and I'm still going to watch all the content they make from the trip. And I would see it through a different lens. And it was just so beautiful. So it was amazing.
Yeah.
Loved it. Loved the crew. I miss you all if you're listening.
I know, we love miss you all. You.
It's very sad. All right, our last question. Yeah, I'm going to say two of our last questions before we get into the Cook Island questions is, what is your top tip for traveling with a friend to make the trip a success? What would you say is your number one tip?
Number one is always look out for each other.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Always have each other's back. Know if the other person, if they've got sunburn, make sure you find a spot in the shade. If they need to be hydrated, give them a water. Like, always take care of your friend.
I love that.
Yeah.
Be safe. As street smart.
Yeah.
As you can.
We're pretty well traveled, so we know to look out for certain things. But if it's your first time traveling, really look out for each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah, you're in it together.
So true.
Yeah.
I'm going to say communication.
Yeah.
Because I realized all the answers to these questions were mainly about communicating.
Yep.
And like just being really honest and kind and keeping their best interest at like the forefront. Like you're in another country. You're a team, so like work as a team.
I think so.
Yeah, that's so sweet. All right, I loved this one, so I had to put it in. What is the difference between traveling with a parent / family versus a friend? I went away to Europe last year, you guys know that. It was a very different holiday to the holiday I had in Raro. And for me, I guess what I realized is that I could have probably done the Raro trip with my mum because we're very similar when it comes to traveling and exploring and doing things. Versus with my dad, who is someone who just wants to relax and doesn't want to do much and wants to like lay by a pool all day. Again, you could do that in Raro because it's both relaxing, but you can also jam pack your day if you want to. But for me, I just felt like it was a totally different dynamic. When you're with your friend and even when you're with your parents not on holiday, you're a different version of you. Like
yeah.
I didn't have to be daughter Adele. I organized the entire trip. So I was like organizer of the trip, daughter Adele, making sure everyone was like checked in, had their tickets, blah, blah, blah. Whereas this one, I could like fully relax. Sue's really was amazing. She knew, obviously, it's a gifted trip, but I would be doing work. And even before we went, she's like, if you need photos, I can take photos. Even while we're there, she's like, oh, drive, you can edit your videos. Like she was just an angel, like an absolute angel. And so I think not that the difference is like good and bad, but it's just different.
It's different.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, when you travel with your parents, they sort of parent to you on the trip too, which is fine. It's like family trip, but
you don't get parented with a friend. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, now we're getting into our Raro questions. Now, rapid fire, pick one, Raro or Bali, go.
Raro. Sorry, Bali, but you've been done.
I feel so bad because I was a hoe for Bali. I've been to Bali 3-4 times maybe.
Bali who?
And I'm not going to like pit the countries against each other. However, Raro is like this undiscovered gem. And I mean, don't get me wrong, it is a tourist location. There were tourists there.
Yeah.
But
I think Aussies just are so used to going to Bali. Yes. So, yeah, it's just in our culture that we're like, all right, let's go to Bali.
Yeah.
But it's cool that you can go somewhere else and it's, yeah.
Somewhere new. Yeah. And yeah. Even when I told like people in my life that I was going to Rarotonga, they were like, where is that? Well, yeah. I've never heard of that. Like people didn't even know that it was a holiday destination, let alone 6 hours away from Australia, so which is pretty much the same time that it takes you to get to Bali anyway. And I think personally, if I was to book my next trip, it would be to Raro, not to Bali. I don't know if I would go back to Bali now.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, I might because like there's things I like about Bali too. This really gave me the kick up the bum to like try something new and like see new places.
Yeah. And like if you're booking a trip with your friends and you're thinking of going to Bali, then maybe, you know, you want to party at night and you want to be out. So I'm not sure. We did see one of the nights of Raro nightlife. But
on a Saturday night.
Yeah. And everything closed at 12. So I know that if you go to Bali, you can
party all night.
Yeah, party more. So if that's what you want to do, then maybe Bali is better for you. Yeah, that's the only difference, really. Yeah. Like during the day, there's plenty to do in Rarotonga. But yeah, it just depends on what you want to do with your trip.
Yeah, and what you want from a holiday. Yeah. Okay. What was the highlight of your trip and what was your favorite activity from the trip?
My favorite had to be Aitutaki. What a place. That day trip. At one point, I looked around, I just closed my eyes and I was just like, oh my God, we're in paradise.
How is this real? I kept saying to everyone, how? This is not real.
No, like
my eyes, I was blinking. I was like, this is, how is the water so clear?
Yeah. I actually said to the guide that we had.
Ali. I don't know if you're going to listen to this, but Ali, we love you.
I was just like, this is the nicest place I've been on earth.
Yeah.
It is. I cannot think of a nicer, everything is blue. The water is so clear and It's just
magical.
The most beautiful, untouched island. Oh, that was my favorite. What about you?
Oh, it's so hard for me to pick what my favorite was.
Yeah.
It's a cross between the day tour. It's a cross between the sea scooters and a cross between the paddle boarding.
Everything.
I love.
The sea scooters was hectic.
I love water activities.
Yes, me too.
I realized this. Also, not the best snorkeler, but by the end of it, I was a snorkeler.
Yes, but you actually need to practice snorkeling. It's not something you just pick up straight away. Like every time you go snorkeling, you're a bit better at it.
Mm.
And even having those sea scooters. So I don't know why I was just imagining like this big ass, like Harley Davidson version, like a jet ski
in
or like
water.
Something. And then we get there and I'm like, so where are the scooters? And it's like this tiny little, like you hold onto the hands. I don't even know. It's like this little device. It's like, like the size of your hands. And I was like, oh, that's the scooter. And then that was so cool using that because you can swim so fast.
Mm-hmm. And
that was cool.
I don't know if you guys watched Finding Nemo, but I felt like we were in Finding Nemo because basically it's called a passage. I can't remember the name of the passage, but the sea turtles like migrate through there. And I was like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
whoa, dude.
Whoa, dude. Like wearing Nemo. And
yes.
The turtles were
beautiful.
So playful. You're not allowed to touch them. I just want to say we did not touch them.
Yeah.
The team there, Ariki Adventures, is very big on like conservation and protecting the wildlife. And yeah, did not touch them. We also did not touch any coral or anything like that. The reef was beautiful, but the turtles would come up and like play with us. They would like come to the surface and dive around and it was just magical. And then the paddleboarding, we did paddleboarding at night. The paddleboards had lights underneath and you could see the ocean floor while you were paddleboarding. And I don't know, it was just so peaceful, so mindful.
Amazing activity to do at night.
Yeah.
It's something I think a lot of people would do during the day, but at night.
Do it at night.
Although we did it right after the hike.
So yeah.
Our
we were
legs.
So sore. My legs were shaking on the paddleboard. I was like, I'm going
to
collapse.
Yeah. And it does need a bit of core strength. Like you really do have to hold your core.
Brace.
Yeah. So you don't fall off. And then there was like these little jumping fish.
These
and I was just
fish.
Standing there and, you know, paddling. And then all of a sudden I feel a fish just jump onto my foot. I was like, just wanted to like shake and move everything. I was like, nope, I don't want to wash my hair.
I can't fall in because I can't. Timing our washing of the hair was extreme sport.
It was.
Quite frankly.
It was a full-time job.
Full-time job. And then my other highlight of the trip was our breakfast every morning.
Yes. Okay.
We have to talk about the breakfast.
So we got there and they provided us with 6 eggs, some cheese, some butter and
bread,
some
apples
bread.
And like some snacks. Yeah.
So we're like, all right, let's make our eggs on toast. And then so we started to have like this system where we knew we knew what time we would cook our eggs and then, you know, put all the things on. And our toaster
just did not work.
Our toaster was like, you press the thing down and the toast just comes back up. Press it down, the thing comes back up. So we're trying to, we felt like DJs. So we're like, press the toaster down, put like, do our cooking, press it down. It was a whole thing.
Mind you, every day I'm like, I need to tell them we need to get a different toaster. But because we were out all day and by the time we'd get back, I'd forget. And I only told them on the second last day about our toaster and they replaced it straight away. The hotel was amazing where we stayed. But the last day that we cooked our breakfast, because we had a new toaster, we hadn't practiced with it, we burnt the toast to a fucking crisp.
And then we heard this noise. We're like, what is that noise? And it was like fire alarm. And we're like, wow, did we just really burn our toast? Because every day we would like try to improve on our breakfast. So one day we bought bacon. We're like, all right, now we're going to put some bacon and make it better. And then one day we're like, okay, we're going to cut the cheese into squares today and like do that.
We got better a little bit. And then we changed the bread the next day.
Yeah. And then when we finally said, okay, we've got our last day is going to be the most hectic breakfast, we burnt the bread.
Devastating. But anyway, the breakfast
it was
and
so fun.
Even our morning
cooking
coffee
together
was just like such a nice experience.
Yeah.
And we'd wake up, we'd go outside. It was just us two. No one else was awake at that ass crack of dawn, just us.
And the hermit crabs.
And the hermit crabs.
Every day it was like, all right, let's go see if there's a hermit crab.
And every day we saw one.
And there was. And like you could see that they just like run all over the sand because there's like all these like
tracks.
There's like tracks of hermit crab, tracks of chickens.
Yeah.
And then us.
And then our
footprints. It was so, so cute.
It was the best. So they're my highlights.
Our mornings were sick.
I know. It was hard this morning. I woke up and I was like, roosters.
Yeah.
No hermit crabs. No waves. No sand in my feet. Like,
no Adele.
No Suzanne. I was like, damn.
That's the best way to wake up with a coffee on the beach and your bestie. Like, what more can you ask
for? So elite. I know. All right. We're nearly there. Did either of you hook up with any island boys?
No. But, like, can confirm island boys are hot.
They are so hot. I just need to give a PSA to any single women going to Raro. Island men. Made very differently.
They're so nice and friendly.
So handsome, so sweet. All of the locals actually.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Everyone there is so beautiful. Like they've got this energy that's so beautiful.
They're just like angels. Like,
yeah.
So amazing.
And you just want to be around them because they're just so nice and like so chill and so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say the island boy is very charming.
Yeah.
And nice to look at.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. What was your favorite food in Raro?
My favorite food was those fish and chips at Trader Jack's. Trader Jack's was my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did love Trader Jack's as well.
Yeah.
I will put up a list of recommendations over on my Instagram and also on my YouTube if you guys want to go see that. My favorite place was actually Charlie's.
Yep.
So there's this beautiful, I'm going to say it's, what would I call it? It's not like a bar because you can sit down and have dinner, but it's like right on the water. And there's like tables and whatever, you can order food. It's got darts. It's just beautiful. Anyway, we order our food and I ordered the, what's it called? The Ikamata. Ikamata, which is like a local cuisine there in the Cook Islands, which is like raw tuna essentially.
Yeah.
It's covered in coconut cream and lime juice. And then it's got like raw vegetables in it as well. And it is the freshest seafood I've ever had in my life. It was so good. I then tried it again on the day tour, tried it again on the last night where we had the buffet.
Yes.
It's everywhere
it's
you go.
It's so yum. It's so, really
so good.
Nice.
The fish was really fresh there.
Yeah.
Wherever we went, the fish was so fresh.
Even everything was fresh. Like even when we went on the boat, they made us a whole selection of like fresh fish, fruits and veggies
everything.
And stuff.
It was beautiful.
And we just put a bit of everything on our plate and it's like nothing you eat here.
Yeah.
And it was just so yum. Like everything was just delicious.
We didn't have one bad meal.
No, nothing
and
was.
And just on that as well, there were other questions about people asking me like, is it safe to eat street food? And what was the water like? Did you have to take gastro stop? And it can confirm not one of us got sick.
No.
We stayed in a resort that had drinkable tap water. So we drank that.
Yeah.
We brushed our teeth in the tap water. We showered in the tap water. Yeah. I can confirm I was putting that shower water in my mouth like nothing happened to us.
No, it was so good.
And we also ate at the markets multiple times.
It was delicious.
It was amazing. Like 10 out of 10 food everywhere. No issues whatsoever amongst like all 13 of us. There was, 12 of us at the hotel. Food is good. Everything was amazing.
I would definitely recommend eating at the markets. Like we got barbecue steak and like
ribs.
Yeah, ribs. Everyone got a meat dish that was so yum because so they barbecue it right there.
In front of you, yeah.
It was so good. Yeah.
I could grow those ribs right now.
Yes. They were yum.
All right. How long was your stay and did you feel like you needed more time?
Yes. We did need more time.
I never wanted to come back.
We were so devo to come home.
I was crying at the airport.
Yeah.
Like multiple times.
Like, I think we did need more time on the island, but even Atutaki, I would have loved to stay there a night. Yeah.
I will go back I'll stay there for 2 or 3 nights.
Yeah.
And then I'll stay in Raro for like a whole week.
Yeah.
And I'll definitely do activities again, but I'll also probably just go to Miri Beach and hang out at Miri Beach, which is my favorite beach there.
It was so nice. But yeah, if you were like trying to see how long you needed to book a trip, I think a week's good.
A week is great.
It's like low-key life-changing. Like you literally, if you don't know what you need right now, you just need to be on an island.
Yeah.
You realize so much about your life. You become so grateful for the land, become so grateful for nature. You're just happy to be alive. Like,
yeah.
It's the best kind of escape ever. And it's not even an escape, like you're there and fully present and everything, but it just fully resets your mind and shows you what's important. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So a week will do you good.
Yeah. Agree with that.
It's good for the soul.
So good for the soul. Priceless for the soul. All right. We had a lot of questions around our itinerary and our cost breakdown. So we did not pay for this, obviously. It was all gifted, but I ran a test sample. So last night, on my computer, I looked up if we were to leave today and fly out on Tuesday, the 12th of March, and come back on the 17th of March, which is Sunday, that's identical to the trip we just took. Our accommodation at Ocean Escape for 5 nights, we did 5 nights, 6 days, would have been $2,000 for the both of us. And our flights with Jetstar would have been $2,200. I will say right now, Jetstar does have $300 flights leaving from Sydney. So if you live in Sydney, you're lucky because your flight is direct.
Yes.
Our flights, when I looked up the price, were a little bit more pricey because you have to fly Melbourne to Sydney, Sydney to Raro. However, I still think $2,200 for return flights for two people overseas is pretty good.
Yes.
To a place like that. So flights and a comm, you're looking at around $2,100-ish each if we were to do that exact same trip. And then I would personally then allow for, I'm going to say maybe $1,000, maybe even more, maybe even like $1,500 for like food, activities, car hire. And keep in mind, my budget is like a non-drinking budget. Like I had one drink there.
Yeah.
And I had two drinks there and I felt drunk after the first one. And I was like, oh my God, this alcohol does not mess around. Didn't help that we were in the sun all day. But yeah, I think you can then manipulate your budget on like spending to like what suits you more.
Yes.
Definitely need car hire. 100%.
Yep. And like I've never really traveled where I've hired a car before. So when remember when we got into the car and then Adele like drove first and then we're like, the fuck is that beep? And like
it was the car's beep. We leave the airport, the car's beeping nonstop.
And
I'm
looking
like,
around like idiots, like, what is this? Is this car like, what is it doing?
Is it gonna blow up? Like, am I breaking the car? We've been driving for 10 minutes. And what's going on?
And then we realized, well, we found out that the handbrake is actually like a foot one, like near the brake.
And the handbrake was up.
Yeah. And so we're like, oh, like, and you know, when something's beeping, it's usually a handbrake. Actually, today my handbrake was beeping. Oh. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, of course it's here. But yeah, so it is weird, like, jumping in a car in another country because you're like, oh my God, like, but it's so safe on the roads. Like, they literally travel at 50 kilometers an hour and there's no traffic. So you're going to be fine. It's not scary to drive around.
Definitely. But I'd say you have to hire a car because there's no like one. Uber there.
Yeah.
There. Or you can even hire a bike or like a scooter. Bike would be fun.
But again, it's hot as.
I'm scared.
It's hot as, And it is scary riding a scooter in another country.
Yeah. But there's lots of car hire places. Yeah. And then for that day tour to Atutaki, That is around $600 per person, just so you guys know. And that includes your flights. So you catch a small flight from Raro to Aitutaki. And then that includes the cruise on the boat, a tour around Aitutaki in the bus, and your lunch, and then three swimming locations. So allow for that too if you are thinking about it. But in terms of price, I had a couple of people asking like, oh, is it a cheap holiday? Is it a cheap holiday? Cook Islands run on New Zealand, like the New Zealand dollar. And so the AU dollar, like AUD, is slightly better than the New Zealand dollar. I think like a dollar in Australia is like $1.07 or something in New Zealand. But it's like New Zealand pricing because they import a lot of their like snacks and things like that. So I actually bought my like Nescafe coffees from the little supermarket across the road from where we were staying. And I posted a picture on my Instagram story and people were like, what the hell? Because it was 13 New Zealand dollars, maybe even 14 New Zealand dollars. And to me, I was like, these coffees are priceless. Like, I'll pay what I need to pay. I forgot to pack them. That's my own fault. And I'll just cop it on the chin. But that's the price that they pay to import it over. So that's why, again, that's why I'll say to you, eat at the market, eat locally, because that food is fresher and they catch it and it's there. Versus like importing it.
Definitely.
But I don't think it is a cheap holiday. I think it's like if you're going to come to holiday in Australia, that's like the prices you would pay.
Yes. It would be similar to traveling in Australia.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'd be pretty much the same kind of prices as if you were here. Food, drinks. And yeah, like you said, it depends on what you're buying. Because if you are getting a lot of drinks, it might get a little bit more expensive, but we really weren't drinking. So yeah.
No. And we also didn't really do a lot of shopping. All of our other like discretionary spending was like down.
We did do a lot of snack shopping though.
Every night at our Super Brown. That's what some of the supermarkets are called there. We'd have to get an ice cream, cookies.
Yeah. We drove like a lap around the island like almost every day. And we did go to, a lot of the supermarkets and get a lot of snacks.
Yeah, we did. So worth it though. Yes. I think, again, it's like, for me, I'm like, can I put a dollar figure on like my happiness? And I'm like, I will go back there and I will pay for my own flights and my own accom and my own activities, and worth every cent, because it is one of the most magical places on earth. And I feel so lucky to have gone there and like cross paths with the people we cross paths with, make memories with my friend, my best friend, and new friends that we had met and got to know. And it's just something that I'll cherish forever. Like I'll never forget that holiday.
Exactly. And yeah, see somewhere new and do some life-changing stuff. 100%.
Yeah. All right. We are at the end of the show. So sad. Crying. Suze, we do a PS, like a recommendation, like things that you are enjoying. Maybe you're reading it, maybe you're watching it, eating it, whatever it is. I don't even know what my recommendation is right now, but can you give us one?
Is this anything related?
It can be anything related.
Okay. Ariana Grande, Eternal Sunshine.
Okay.
Is my everything right now.
Okay.
Even it came out while we were in Rarotonga and I was like lying by the pool crying. So that's my recommendation.
Okay. Is that her album?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And were you listening to it on the plane as well?
Plane.
I could see.
Oh, it's the best.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to give it a listen. What is my recommendation? My recommendation is to slow down and to go outside and get amongst nature, because I learned that while I was away, I can be a very highly strung person at the best of times. And I like to fill my calendar with shit. I like to make myself really busy. I like to put pressure on myself because I do thrive in those environments. However, I realize that life over there is so simple, and the way the locals live over there, they don't need a lot. Like, they're so grateful just to wake up in the morning that day, like so grateful and blessed just to like be fucking alive.
Yeah.
And they're never in a rush. If any of them were stressed, I couldn't tell. They didn't look stressed. They just live so beautifully and live so authentically. And obviously I know there's like bullshit going on in the world, and our environments are also different, and we all have our own personal struggles, and sometimes life isn't simple. But I'm like, how can I simplify my life, and how can I tap into that energy? Because I really liked the version of me while I was over there.
Yes.
And then almost as soon as we landed back in Sydney yesterday, the vibe shifted like immediately.
We felt it.
And I was like, oh, I've got to like do some stuff and make some changes in my life here.
Slow down. It gives you clarity.
And I am a grateful person, but I was like, these people are way more grateful for way less and just living so happily. And I think there's something in that that I can like take away and bring it into
100%
my life. So I will be taking it slow, trying to live a island life here in concrete jungle Melbourne. And yeah, that's my recommendation. Get outside, do some slow down.
One step at a time, like our hike, and don't forget to look up.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to cry.
And see what's around. Yeah. Loved it.
Oh, any last words from you, Suze, before we go?
Yes, make sure you pack a hat.
Says the girl who didn't pack a hat.
Yeah.
I didn't pack a hat. She did.
Because
You need a hat. Or just put sunscreen down the hairline.
Yeah.
Because I didn't bring a hat. I don't know why I packed so stupidly. I forgot my coffees and my hat.
And your water bottle, your Frank. Bring your Frank.
And yeah, my Yeti as well. But we did actually stay quite hydrated. I was proud of us. We were good on the snacks and water.
Yeah.
But
that's it.
Magical. I love that. All right, guys. If you haven't, go and check out Suzanne's account. Her at is Susie Savannah. I'll put it in the show notes because she also recapped it from her point of view and I love to watch it. Follow me at Adele Marie and the Potty, your safe space pod, and give us a rating on Spotify if you like this episode. We'll take 5 stars only. And if you have been to Raro or Aitutaki or the Cook Islands, let me know. If you haven't, I hope that you can add it to your next holiday destination list because it is a beautiful part of the world and more people need to know about it and more people need to see it. But we will see you next time. Thank you so much for joining me, Suze.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you more. Bye, guys. This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land, hosted by me, Adele Marie. Your Safe Space is a part of the Amplify Podcast Network.